Hanlon, who's a representative in Armagh with the SDLP. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
So, the travel brochures, or the tourist brochures, would say two reasons to celebrate in Armagh: diversity, one in the afternoon, one in the evening.
No, the tourism brochure could say diversity, and that is, we believe, achieved through the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which is organised by the council through the centre in the afternoon. It's a parade that has been building year on year. Last year we had 18,000 people pack the streets for a carnival-like atmosphere. People from right across the community attending and taking part. And unfortunately, this year, another group has proposed for a loyalist band parade through the city centre in the evening. And already, groups are dropping out of the council-organised parade, and families are saying they're not coming near Armagh.
But why would people be dropping out? Because the parade you're describing is happening in the afternoon. The Cormeen Rising Sons of William Flute Band will be having their celebration much later on in the evening after everyone's gone home.
Yes, their parade is planned for later on in the evening. But this isn't about stopping people expressing their cultural identity. The group can do that, and they're very welcome to do that. But we would ask them to come and join with the council parade, which is organised through the city centre. The council have spent at least $250,000 over the last 5 years building up St. Patrick's Day, a parade that festival that is much more than what you would get in other towns and cities across this island. And it's disappointing that others won't take part. And our belief is because the council have terms and conditions and a set of ethics to sign up to. And one of those is no flags, no bunting and no banners.
I want to speak to Danny Kennedy in a second, but just before I go to Danny, I want to speak to Quincy Duggan, who is from the Cormeen Rising Sons of William Flute Band. Quincy, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Quincy, is that the main reason you won't take part? You need to fly a lot of flags and show a lot of banners?
Well, in specific relation to the council parade, Frank, 2 years ago, an invitation was extended to some local bands to take part. And three bands did actually agree to take part in that event. But after they accepted the invitation, the council placed a list of restrictions on them that it just wouldn't simply have been. The bands would have ceased to have been what they are if they had have abided by them. We would have had to cover up badges on uniforms, cover up all the instrumentation. As Thomas points out, the colour party wouldn't have been allowed to walk, which is a large part of the band. There was even discussion that, you know, we were going to have to sit down and go through and agree a list of tunes that we would be allowed to play. Taking that all into account, it would have been a different band on parade than what we really are.
But Quincy, is St. Patrick's Day not all about compromise and understanding that there are two traditions marking and recognising the great memory of St. Patrick?
You said it there, Frank. You know, there's two traditions that have two very different ways of cultural expression. You know, the Cormeen event in the evening time has deliberately been planned as to not affect the afternoon parade in any way. You know, this event will start over 3 hours after all other activities in the city have finished, and it doesn't impede on any evening events in any way.
But is St. Patrick's Day not about people reaching out? So the Cormeen Rising Sons of William Flute Band could be there, where nationalists could actually stand back and listen to the great music they play and appreciate their talent, as opposed to feeling that the Cormeen band's actually imposing themselves on a city in the evening when people are out maybe having a few drinks, going to restaurants or whatever. The reality is that Armagh is going to basically be a no-go area for nationalists on St. Patrick's evening.
I wouldn't accept that at all, Frank. You know, the band took this very, very seriously and commissioned a very detailed community and commercial impact assessment, and, you know, put forward the evidence that there was no impact within the town centre. I could also like to add that from the 1st of March, the band has made repeated contacts with both SDLP and Sinn Féin, offering meetings and offering to discuss their concerns. The SDLP in particular have fobbed the band off several times and have never come back to us properly.
Are you concerned that you might have some hangers-on, even though you might have a very good band with very decent members, might there be hangers-on who'll be on the beer in the afternoon who could cause trouble in Armagh on Saturday night?
Frank, you know, should it be a fate or a flaw? should it be a parade, a procession, any event, you always have the danger that there will be people that will be drinking and may want to cause trouble. It comes with any social event. What Cormaine will say is they have put a very detailed action plan into place with over 38 marshals in place. We have met again with the PSNA last night and have been working with them and will accommodate them fully. We will be making it very clear that anyone that wishes to cause trouble simply is not welcome, and Cormaine will cooperate fully with the PSNA in attempting to stop that.
Quincy, thank you. I want to speak to Danny Kennedy. Danny, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Danny, you're obviously in favour of this march going ahead on Saturday night in the city.
Yes, indeed, Frank. I think it's important that St. Patrick isn't the sole preserve of any one community or one particular political faction or anything like that. And it's a real danger that elements within either the SDLP or Sinn Féin, I have to say, have been trying to create the impression that Armagh is a special place only for a certain political viewpoint on St. Patrick's Day. Now, that's a huge mistake. I know it's not the overall view of the wider community. I think there is time and space for cultural expression to be properly exercised, to be lawfully carried out. I'm entirely satisfied that the PSNI will have full control of all the arrangements, and I simply ask everybody to take a deep breath, step back and say, on St. Patrick's Day, Let Armagh have a full cultural expression from events that will take place from early in the morning right through to later in the evening.
Would you agree, Danny, that Armagh on Saturday night with the Cormaen Rising Sons of William Flute Band having their celebration will be no place for nationalists who are out having a few drinks on St. Patrick's Day?
No, I don't accept that, Frank. And I think what is unhelpful is the raising of political tensions and, if you like, manufactured opposition or indignation against a parade that was posted with the Parades Commission as far back as last year. It's taken individuals a very long time to create their opposition to this, and they haven't taken the opportunity that has been afforded to them, as Quincy has said, to engage with the organisers. And so, you know, I think everybody needs to just step back and say, let St. Patrick's Day happen in Armagh. Let everybody enjoy the range of events that are available. They're all-day events. And let's hope that in terms of the overall cultural expression, that people will have an opportunity to express their culture. And as we move forward together, we can see that the sharing of St. Patrick's Day in a place like Armagh is an important signal to the wider community.
But is it a sharing, or is it an edging out of one tradition from the nighttime economy in Armagh? Because the Cormaen celebration previously over past years, and from my knowledge, took place at the village of Killyleagh, which is only a few miles from Armagh. And that might have seemed like a better location for the ongoing Cormaen Rising Suns celebration.
I think the organisers have always had the intention that they would bring the parade on St. Patrick's Day, because it is specifically organised for St. Patrick's Day to Armagh City, which has very strong links, obviously, with St. Patrick. And I think the alternative to what you describe is to somehow hide the parade away in a different area, that you don't give full cultural expression to people who want to celebrate the fact that St. Patrick was the patron saint of everybody, that St. Patrick didn't actually bring religion. St. Patrick brought Christianity. I think we need to step back a wee bit and remember that Patrick is not the sole preserve of a particular faction. And there's been a tendency over the years for people to say, well, St. Patrick's Day is a day for nationalists and the 12th of July is a day for unionists and Orange men. So, you know, and as we move forward in Northern Ireland, one would hope that the opportunity for cultural expression would be given and accepted.
I noticed one text here that says, Danny Kennedy's speaking like a man who plans to lead unionism. Are those words that you are uttering this morning, Danny, being carefully chosen because you're on a platform to be a possible leader of the Unionist Party?
Well, Frank, you will know that there's speculation and I have taken out nomination papers for the post of the leadership of the Irish Unionist Party. I'm not going to go into detailed comment on that today. Let me say this is an entirely separate issue in my view. This is a constituency issue. I am supportive of the organisers of this parade because I've met with them. We've spent time together going through in detail, making sure that this parade is non-threatening, that it is not an attempt at co-trailing or anything like that, but it is what it says on the tin, a cultural expression on St. Patrick's Day from the unionist community, and surely that ought to be a welcome thing.
Just on the leadership issue, are you concerned that Mike Nesbitt may stand against you?
I'm not going to make any further comment on the leadership issue. Let me say, because all of us who are candidates or would-be candidates have a responsibility to the party to make sure that this leadership campaign is conducted with dignity and with proper respect to everyone involved.
Danny Kennedy, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thomas O'Hanlon, I think, is still with us. Thomas, you're listening there to two perspectives on it. Danny Kennedy as one of the unionist representatives and Quincy Duggan as the man in charge of the Cormaan Band. Are you feeling confident now that Saturday won't be as gloomy as you think it might be?
Frank, let me set a very clear message out. Anyone from any section of the community who wants to come to Armagh City and celebrate St. Patrick on St. Patrick's Day is very welcome. Those who want to come to Armagh City do anything other than involve themselves in a good humoured day are not welcome. Please let that message go clear. No one wants anything untoward or any sort of disturbance take place in St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day in Armagh.
But are you saying, Thomas, are you saying to nationalist people in Armagh, stay well away from the Cormaan celebration?
What I'm saying to all communities is to be level-headed, that there should be no disturbance. That's not what the people of Armagh want. The simple reason is that St. Patrick's Day has developed into a festival, carnival-like atmosphere, and we are very concerned that it would deter into something other than that. But just a couple of other issues. The organiser said that he has made attempts to contact the SDLP. Let me be very clear. I have had no calls, email messages, or any correspondence from the organisers of this parade, nor has our MLA, Dominic Bradley. So I don't want to make it look as if anyone is trying to avoid any discussions, and I think that needs to go very clear. St. Patrick's Day is not about nationalists celebrating. It's about people on this island and afar celebrating our national saint. And I think it's something that we should all be aware of, and that, as I said at the very outset, Cormaan and other bands are very much welcome to take part in the St. Patrick's celebrations, which is organised by the council. But what we're asking is everyone who takes part is to sign up to a set of principles that respects everyone, that offends no one, and that includes no flag waving.
Okay, Thomas O'Hanlon, thank you. And Quincy Duggan, you're still there.
He's still here, yes,
Quincy, sir. I'll give you the last word on it, because after all, you are the man who's organising the march, which the controversy seems to be about. And just two things. One, you didn't seem to be able to contact the SDLP, even though you said you did. Like two high-profile SDLP people, the most obvious, Dominic Bradley. Could you not find his address?
Frank, Thomas O'Hanlon is a councillor for the Crossmore ward, which actually doesn't include Armagh City. We contacted SDLP in Armagh City directly. We're on the phone to Councillor Mila Bratton. Whenever we had no further communications from Mila Bratton after she said she would get back to us, I personally contacted the office of Alistair McDonnell in Belfast, was talking to the worker in that office, and we had several communications and several emails, so there's some sort of chain of communication there in the SDLP that obviously isn't being followed up. But I would take the opportunity to say to Thomas, you know, we are still more than open to sit down with the SDLP and try and discuss the issue and allay their fears.
You do have a responsibility come St Patrick's evening. And let's paint a picture of Armagh on St Patrick's night. Nationalists have been at it all day. They've been drinking, they've been partying, they've been revelling, they've been getting fueled up in many ways in pubs and clubs. And there's just a great Irish feel about St Patrick's Day in Armagh. You arrive in with your Rising Suns band. It could be a touch paper that ignites difficulties.
Frank, for people on the outside that don't know Armagh, this doesn't come across straight away. But this centre area of Armagh where the parade takes place, there literally are not any public houses or venues on that parade route. Procession route. The nearest venues are several hundred metres away from it. There are no other activities or festivities or businesses within that city centre area that will keep people there. And even more so, the PFNI have actually confirmed that there is no historical precedent for people staying about in the city centre at that time of night. As I say, our event will be starting over 3 hours after all council events have finished. So that would involve people standing for 3 hours with, you know, literally twiddling their thumbs because they can't drink on the street. There's no businesses opening for them and there's no other festivals or festivities on there for them.
Quincy, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Quincy Duggan is from the Cormaan Rising Sons of William Flute Band. Do you agree with his description of...
The unionist participation will drop off rapidly. And what had been a sort of a paragon of virtue, could I say, of good cross-community support for a festival will rapidly disappear. So I know this is controversial, but I really do think that it's sad that something that could be an exemplar for the rest of the community, all of Northern Ireland, has simply gone the same way as so many other St Patrick's Day parades.
You see, I got a sense, and we're going to Downpatrick ourselves, Jim, with the roadshow or whatever. I got a sense maybe that over the last few days they had that maybe resolved about a bit of Irish language being written on a flag in Downpatrick. Is it not very sad to hear an MLA for the area practically calling on unionist people not to go to Downpatrick this year?
Well, Frank, the reality is that unionists did go to Downpatrick for many years because it was a brilliantly organised cross-community festival where everyone felt included and indeed represented both communities. The deliberate adoption of Irish for the major symbol of that parade is clearly known by the organisers to be something that's going to cause provocation and difficulties. And they knew when they made that decision that it really was in the face of the unionist community. And I mean, no one in Northern Ireland is not so stupid to realise that the use of Irish, when handled insensitively, can cause considerable hurt to the unionist community.
But how does it, Jim? How does the use of the Irish language on the day that we celebrate the Irish saint, how does that cause offence?
Well, first of all, Frank, there was no suggestion that Ulster Scots would have been adopted as well, so there's no equality. But secondly, you and I know, Frank, that the Irish language has been cynically used by nationalists and republicans for many, many years. And they're all going campaign against the unionist British presence in Northern Ireland. Now, I know their genuine adherence to the Irish language, who would deprecate that and don't agree with it, but the reality is, on the ground, it is a language that has been abused and used for political purposes. And until that stops, people will simply regard any adoption of the Irish language for what's supposed to be a cross-community parade as provocation and causing a degree of hurt. Now, if we're trying to encourage as many unionists as possible to take part in the Downpatrick parade, the last thing we need is the use of the Irish language on the day.
But Jim, are you phoning through this morning to call on unionist people not to go and be part of the fun that we're going to be providing in Downpatrick this Saturday?
No, Frank, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that a large number of unionists will vote with their feet and go elsewhere on St Patrick's Day because they're cheesed off at the attitude of the council, who were warned very clearly by moderate councillors, don't do this, it's going to antagonise the unionist community, it's going to break the cross-community support that we've had for this parade, and they deliberately went ahead and adopted the Irish language as a symbol for the event. And that is very sad and unfortunate and was utterly needlessly done because the parade had been going so well up until last year, where, of course, a Sinn Féin councillor decided to fly a flag the size of a football pitch at the actual parade, but that was a rogue element. But what I can say is that up until 2010, we held up Downpatrick as the way it should be done. Indeed, I was saying to councillors and the media, come to Downpatrick and see how you can celebrate St Patrick in a non-threatening way. And of course, the decision of the council is a retrograde step.
Jim, thanks for the call. Thank you. Thank you. Jim Wells, MLA there in South Down. Will we ever get St Patrick's Day sorted in this country?